Okay, and welcome back. Glad you're along tonight. Just spending some time, a conversation with our friend of many, many years, Jordan Maxwell. All right, so we're out there in little alien country in December. It's cold. It's winter in the high desert. And you're told, just go back toward Las Vegas about 20 miles, and you'll see some UFOs, usually, commonly.
Right, right.
Often.
Well, that's where that famous mailbox parking area is, the black mailbox. So,
yeah.
And so we're to go south toward Vegas, about 20 miles exactly, and then there'll be a big mailbox, she said, and just park there, and whatever you're going to see, you know, you'll see it there. So we went out. I'm driving, a lady in the front seat and a man in the back seat, just like I was told a year and a half before. We went and hadn't even thought about it. And I turned left and
did
go
you,
north.
You remembered that at the time, did you?
Oh, yes, because I told both of them going up about that prophecy.
Okay.
And I said, and so here we are, you know, the three of us. And so I said, don't be surprised if something happens. Well, so that night we're going out. We drive out to the highway, but instead of turning south, I go north. I turn left.
Any particular reason?
No, I didn't even think about it. Just what I'm doing. So I went, I took a left and went north, and Paul Tice didn't say anything. He didn't catch it, and Ivy sitting in the front seat, she didn't catch it. So we're all three we're just driving along like we had good sense going north. And when we get to the 20-mile mark. Mm-hmm. We start slowing down, mm-hmm. and it's like maybe midnight now, and we're mm-hmm. way out, because Rachel itself is like 130 miles north of Vegas.
Right.
Now we're 20 miles north of that. We're 150 miles out in the desert.
You're in a convertible, aren't you? Wasn't it
convertible? No.
What kind of a car was it?
It was just my car at the time. It was just my personal car.
All right.
And so... And so then Ivy, just at the 20-mile mark north, she said, wait a minute. Pat said, go south. We've gone north. And I said, why didn't somebody say something before? Nobody noticed it. And so I slowed down, and out there in the middle of the desert, 150 miles out in the middle of nowhere, I said, all right, let's turn around, go back, because we're going to stay for a day or so anyway, and we'll go back out tomorrow night. She said, okay. And so we agreed that's what we'll do. So where I stopped the car, where I stopped the car to turn around, there happened by chance at that very place that I stopped the car was a wide dirt road leading off out into the desert. And so immediately, Paul and I said, let's drive out in the desert. It's a well-kept, level dirt road going out in the desert. Let's go out there. And I said, you're out in the desert. I'm not going to get off the road. And it was totally overcast, and this is very important to the story. It was mm-hmm. absolutely totally overcast. Couldn't mm-hmm. see anything.
Black.
Total. And mm-hmm. so Ivy and Paul insisted that we drive out a little bit into the desert. I didn't like the idea, but I did it.
Doesn't sound like something I'd like to do either.
No. Getting off the highway 150 miles out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And it's already spooky out there anyway.
Yeah,
and,
I hear you.
So I drive out about a block or two, maybe two blocks, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden I got this overwhelming sensation that we had done something really bad wrong. There were no signs, no trespassing and all that, no. But I just knew we've done something wrong, and I said, Ivy, I'm getting out of here. And I quickly backed the car up, and I said, I don't know what it is I'm feeling, but I'm getting out of here. We've done something wrong. And I started to leave, and Ivy and Paul jumped on me and really jumped on me and said, look it, there's nobody out here. The least you could do is stop for a moment, get out. No one's going to harm you. There are no signs, no trespassing signs, so get out. And so I said, all right. So I got out. We got out of the car. We shut the lights off in the car, and that's what dark is. If you've ever been out to a desert when it's totally overcast.
Yep.
And turn off the lights.
You there can't see your hand in front
nothing,
of your face. No.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You can hear voices in the black, but you cannot see anything. And so I said to Ivy, what do you think you're going to see out here? And I'm telling you, not even 30 seconds. I said, what do you think you're going to see out here? It's totally overcast. And when I said that, just north of us, the cloud began to break into like a little opening in the cloud, mm-hmm. and you can see the stars. And and when it's total black, any light whatsoever you see immediately.
Sure.
And so we saw the stars, and wow. Ivy and Paul said, "Look, the clouds are opening a little bit." And when they said that, two bluish white glowing disks came through that opening in the cloud. It opened up, and they came through. They were not zipping through. They came through as if they were floating on air. They just very slowly floated in, and as they floated in, they were bluish white, and they were reflecting light off of themselves onto the cloud mass above them, because they came in just under the cloud mass, and they stayed right next to the cloud, so you can see the bluish light reflecting on the cloud.
So the clouds themselves had a bluish cast
yes.
to them. That must have been very pretty and very eerie.
Awesome. Yeah. And no sound whatsoever. No sound.
Take a guess how far away they were.
I don't know, but whatever the heavy clouds, you know, on a heavily overcast night, I don't know how high that would be. I don't
know.
A mile, or half a mile or something,
right.
I don't know.
But you had a good clear...
Oh, yeah. And each one of those, there were two of them, and each one was the size that the full moon is in the sky, the full moon size.
Got it.
Not a little light. I'm mm-hmm. talking the size mm-hmm. of a full moon, two mm-hmm. of them. And they're glowing bluish white, reflecting light off the cloud mass above them, and it shocked us when we saw them come in slowly, and five more came in behind them.
Wow.
Now there are seven of these bluish white glowing disks. Frightened me to death. I panicked. You know, you'll never know what you'll do under severe circumstances until it happens.
Now, they're all, by this time, underneath the cloud overcast.
Right.
They had come through the hole, so they're down. You're looking at them not straight up. You're looking at them, you know, at a, what, a 45, 55 degree
angle? No, they were directly overhead.
Oh, this
is
right
overhead.
Because
they were still up there. Yeah,
okay.
They were still up there.
All right.
But they're coming in very slow.
What position did they take, Jordan, when they got all through the hole?
Well, just randomly, just seven
okay.
of them.
Okay, uh-huh.
And they're random, but they're all the size of the full moon.
Did they stop moving?
And they stopped moving.
Okay.
And then when they locked in their position, stopped, it frightened me. And Ivy and Paul were jumping around like they saw Elvis for the first time. They're jumping around, and they said, "Oh, my God, look how beautiful they are. Look at that gorgeous color." And mm-hmm. and Paul is beside himself with the joy of seeing it. I'm frightened to death, but Ivy and Paul are loving it.
Why do you think it was so frightening for you, Jordan? Now, as you look back, what was it about them that was so frightening?
Because there was something about what it really was that spirit was picking up.
Uh-huh, okay.
It was not that I grew up in a Navy town, Pensacola's second largest naval air station in the world. I've been through all kinds of strange craft and jets and helicopters, all kinds of stuff growing up.
And you've seen UFOs before.
I've seen many UFOs.
But it was something about the energy associated with them or in them that wasn't right.
Exactly. That's what I felt. I felt this is very, very bad. Whatever this is, it's fearful. It is not. I've seen UFOs. I mean, Bob Fernie and all the other experiences I've had, but not this one. This one was legitimately frightening to me. And I'm standing there staring at these seven beautiful disc-shaped, bluish-white objects, and then they start moving and doing their little maneuvers, and I'm frightened, and I said, "I'm getting in the car, I'm leaving," and I jumped in the car quickly, and I started the engine up, and Ivy and Paul would not get in the car, and I screamed at them to get in the car, I'm leaving, and they knew that I was scared, so they got in the car, and I started to drive off in the total black, dark, and one half of my brain said, "Keep it in the dark, just keep your lights off and drive straight," while the other half of my brain said, "Look it, they know you're here. I mean, we've got technology to see people in the dark. You know they do. Put your lights on and put your foot to the floor and get out of here," which I did. And I flipped the lights on, took off wide open, and when I did, Ivy and Paul went totally ballistic on me. Up till that moment, they were joyous and happy. Now they're legitimately frightened. And Paul and Ivy are screaming at each other, and they're very, very frightened. And what was, I didn't even see what was going on. They're telling me what was going on. And all I remember was that these things came down quickly right over the top of us and were doing all kinds of extraordinary, gestures and all kinds of movements all around us.
Wow.
And that's what was frightening them. I wasn't seeing it. I'm on my way out of here.
So all of a sudden, the happy times were gone for them, and they were scared. All right.
Instantly.
Hold on. We'll be right back with Jordan Maxwell out in the middle of the desert being apparently chased by 7 UFOs. Pandemonium in the Maxwell car. Jordan is flooring it. Have you turned the lights on by this time?
Yeah. I flipped the lights on. And
what are they? Go ahead.
So I put my foot to the floor, flipped the lights on, and I'm out of there.
What are they saying? What are they yelling at about?
No, they're not. They're just screaming uncontrollably.
Really?
In fear. They both were just overtaken by horror and fear. And, of course, I'm already frightened. Now I got a woman in the front seat that's ballistic, and my friend, who I was hoping would be there for me, he's scared to death. And so what had happened, one of these days you don't have to have them on the program and let them finish the story and tell you what they were seeing, is that these things came right down over us and started moving all around the desert and right there in front of us. And so we were trying to get away, and they weren't hurting us, but they were just all around us, moving quickly, doing all kinds of...
Did you at any time see them out of your left or
right
windows?
Yes, I jumped out. I stopped the car quickly.
Oh, you did?
I stopped the car for some reason. I don't know. I don't know what I was doing, but I stopped the car quickly, looked out. I could see they were moving all around. I jumped. I closed the door again, took off again. And just as I was coming up on the highway, I was concerned that I didn't want to overshoot the highway. And my mind was going at 100 miles an hour, so I was trying to make sure I didn't overshoot the highway. And as soon as we hit the highway, it's strange, but it happened that at the moment we hit the highway, all of a sudden the three of us felt safe. And I think it was because they, whoever they were, their presence at that point did not affect us, and we were standing out there. We jumped out of the car on the highway, and they had gone back. These UFOs had gone back out into the desert, and we just stood there, and all the emotions. There were tears, laughing. It was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was frightening. It was a horrible experience. It was this. It was that. And so we were all standing out there shaking. And as we're driving back, of course, the conversation was very, very simple.
What happened to the UFOs, Jordan, before we get to that? What did they do?
They went back out. They went back out quickly out into the desert, and they shot back up into the sky and to the clouds, and they're gone.
Through the hole.
Yeah. Well, not even through the hole. They just shot right through the clouds, and they're gone. And we stood out there shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the way back, we're talking about what is it that we just experienced. Was this our technology or someone else's? All three of us were of the opinion that it was somebody else's, not ours.
I vote for that. Yeah.
And when we got back to the motel, which is actually just a bunch of mobile homes, as you know, that Joe and Pat have a bunch of mobile homes out there, and they rent them out by the night. So we were given one room, which by chance happens to be number 51 room.
Did you?
Serious.
Did you? What did they say? You must have told them what had happened to you.
Oh, well, see, we get back like about 1 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's sleeping. So we go to bed. As we come in.
You already had the key to your room.
Yeah, we already had the key. So when we walk into our room, the way it was set up is you walk directly into the bathroom from the front door. Mm-hmm. And on each side of the bathroom were two rooms. One had one bed, one had two. Well, I was sufficiently frightened. I'm not going to sleep by myself. So I said, Ivy, why don't you and I sleep over here?
Yeah.
And Paul, you can have the other room by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Paul, he didn't know, so he took it. And so we laid in bed that night talking about what was it that we, what did we just see tonight? Who was this and what was it? So the next morning I wake up, I go into the restaurant, Paul and Ivy are already up and they're already over in the restaurant, and I go in and they got a bunch of people sitting around the table that they're talking to, and I'm assuming that they're talking about, you know, what happened to us tonight, that night before. Well, no, they're talking about what happened in the motel room when the aliens actually came in the motel room.
In your room?
In the room.
That night?
That night. And but I slept through it. And Ivy said when she saw it, and actually the whole episode took place in Paul's room. They came into Paul's room. But Ivy said, I saw the glowing light. I mean, you'll have to have Paul tell you the story. But what happened to him? And he's very, very...
So you managed to go to sleep. Ivy was either unable to sleep or was awakened and
was
saw
awakened.
The light
right.
coming exactly. from Paul's room.
Exactly. They were the alien was glowing a light green, and Paul was frightened to death. And he'll tell you the story one day when you have him on. But the glow, Ivy could see from our bedroom because it's very very tight quarters there, so she could see a slight glow of greenish glow in the other bedroom, and she said. But the moment she woke up and saw the glowing light in the other room. A little small pin light, a very tiny little red light, zipped out of that Paul's bedroom into our bedroom and was stationary over her, and she said she was paralyzed. She couldn't move. She couldn't speak. She couldn't do anything. She just laid there. And she could see the light, but she couldn't do anything about it. And after that episode, and as I said, Paul will tell you the details. I'm not going to go into it, but... And so I slept through it. And so I said to them, and Pat, when Joe and Pat were sitting at the table, I said, well, I didn't see anything. I slept through it. And Pat immediately jumped up, and she said, oh, yes. She said, they let you sleep through it purposely. They knew that you were frightened. They didn't want to frighten you anymore. So they purposely let you sleep through it. And as if Pat already, you know, she already understood the significance of what was happening. And
most interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I remember this now. It's been a long time, but I do remember that. That's and there's more which we won't go into.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's more that I don't want to go into.
Okay. All right, hold on. The amazing life of Jordan Maxwell, indeed. And we'll pause and we'll be back. Amazing encounter. Wonder what what it was all about. Wonder why it was forecast to you like that a year and a half early. I wonder what you were supposed to do.
Well, I've got more to the story, but we won't go into that because those questions are answered. I had a tremendous series of other things which happened to me because of that. Going into the following year, so I finally got to the bottom of what was actually going on. Maybe we can talk about that another time.
Okay.
I would like to spend whatever time we have left talking about my website, because it's so convoluted. There's so much on there. I've got to put some kind of a table of contents because I've got so much on there. I get lost on it. But when you go to my website, jordanmaxwell.com, at the top you'll find all the buttons. But do scroll down because there's a lot on the homepage. A lot of people don't even see. They see the artwork and the buttons at the top, but they don't scroll down to see that there's a whole lot more on the homepage. And especially that little box called Latest Research. Of course, there's a button at the top that takes you to the same place, Research. But it's a general research on all kinds of strange subjects. And, you know, you talked about at the very beginning about how my work has been used by so many in different movies and books and television. God knows that's true. I could sit here for hours and tell you about all the different people who've used you know, my work and never even thank me. But if you will go back and get my original video that was done back in 1991, the basic slide presentation, and then watch Da Vinci Code, the movie, they took stuff directly out of my video. There's no doubt in my mind about it. When they have Tom Hanks walking up on the stage, he's giving a lecture on secret societies and occult orders, and they said that he's a world foremost authority on occult symbols and secret societies, and he comes up on the stage, this is in the movie, of Da Vinci Code, and then he comes up on the stage, and he's standing in front of a screen, and he's got a slide projector that he's giving this lecture at some kind of a meeting, and on the screen is being projected the symbol on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid symbol, and he steps in front of the projection of the picture so that it's now being projected on him, and then then he's pointing to the different symbols and the different, like the eye on the dollar bill, and talking about the secret societies of the Illuminati. That is taken directly off of my video called Basic Slide Presentation I did back in 1991. Uh-huh. And, of course, National Treasure used stuff directly out of my videos. A lot of people have used my stuff in movies and television shows, as you so rightly said at the very beginning, because I've been doing this kind of studying the subject as far back as I said, 1959-60. 61, I was already giving lectures in 61, 62 on Bible codes and the Illuminati. See, it wasn't until 1967 that I actually incorporated the very word Illuminati, because Anthony Hilder was the first man to ever come out with a set of records called Illuminati. I had been giving lectures back in the early 60s on secret societies and Nazi occultism. That was one of my favorite subjects, was the Roman-Nazi-German connection between Nazis, the German Nazi order, and the ancient Roman system, which we today refer to as the Vatican. And the Vatican-Nazi connection was fascinating to me and still is. So I was giving lectures at little bookstores and mom-and-pop bookstores and little venues like in libraries. We're talking before John Kennedy was killed. And the day he was assassinated, back in 63, I was on my way down to give a lecture at a Christian bookstore in East L.A. on secret societies, fraternal orders, and religion. And in the church. And so I've been talking about these kind of subjects. And then incidentally, in Hollywood, for many years, especially during the 70s and early 80s, all through the 70s, I was going to motion picture studios and offices on the lots of the major studios privately, not being sponsored by the studios, but for the people who are working, you know, just the working class people who are working at the studios would invite me to come on the sound stage and set up a little slide projection, you know, for 3 hours, and I would do a slide programs on Illuminati, secret societies, Knights mm-hmm. Templars, and all that kind of thing, and Da Vinci, Bible codes. And so all around Hollywood, I had been doing that in the early 70s, all through the 80s, in the 90s. And then all of a sudden, one day, it all becomes very, very, pronounced. Now everybody's into the Bible codes and the Illuminati and secret societies. But I'm the one that was doing this stuff back in 1962. And at my age now, I don't care about, I'm not only bragging, I'm just telling you the fact. It was, I was doing all of this kind of stuff in Hollywood back in the mid-60s mm-hmm. and the 70s. And so I'm fascinated with watching how this kind of material now has now got a life of its own.
Well, what's really interesting to me, and I know to you, Jordan, is the incredible speed with which these changes in the last 5 to 10, well, since Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City bombing, the speed of the change, the takeover, the coup, the restructuring, the deconstruction of the great age of America.
You're right.
Extraordinary, has been stunning.
That's right. And most people, the reason why it worked so well is because the virtually very few people on the earth really know how to read the symbols, what the words mean, what the terms mean, what the implication of the catchphrases and how it's being used. I've been looking at this subject for many, many years. Over 40 years, and I was talking about it in studios many years ago.
Right.
Waiting and telling people, look what's coming, it's on its way. And I knew about the connections between the Vatican and the Nazi Party and what was being planned for America.
All
I'm
right.
telling you, it's just an extraordinary story that virtually nobody knows.
It's true. Stand by, we'll be back in a minute, and maybe Jordan can share some of those things with us, some of the symbols, some of the words, some of the expressions, which most of us encounter often, sometimes daily, and are none the wiser. Be right back. Maxwell's site, again, is it's a Byzantine labyrinth of amazing material. How's that?
I like that. Kind of got a ring to it. Yeah, if you go to the downloadable document thing, you'll see Occult Theocracy, and the two books that are really important that you'll want to get is Stellar Theology and Masonic Astronomy. All of the hidden symbolism in the way the world views astrological symbols in governments and Masonic orders and secret societies around the world. It's not written by me, but I own the book, and it's an incredible discussion on how the symbols and emblems are working throughout the world on a very high level. But if you're interested in theology, there's only been one book that I have been really impressed with, and that's Symbols, Sex, and the Stars. And it's on an e-book on my website, too, and you'll see it. It's an extraordinary book on explaining all the stuff that we come across in religions. And that's a whole program we'll have to do one of these days, just on Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and where did these thoughts about these religious ideas, where have they actually come from? I mean, Islam alone is an extraordinary story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're worshiping all kinds of stuff in Judaism and Christianity, and the people have no idea in the world what's going on, and I'm trying to do the best I can with nothing to explain to the world, go back and read a book about the religion that you belong to and mm-hmm. find out where these things have come from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Well, you know, we have, there's so much about religion that has been used to kill and destroy and maim this planet and its so-called
absolutely.
Highest level of biological life, which I think is more and more becoming apparent as a failed species, at least in this current configuration. But religion has been nothing less than an instrument of extortion, dominance, and pillage. It's horrible. You don't need a club to become spiritually whole, for goodness sakes. You don't need a bunch of men running around in medieval Halloween costumes taking money from you and
right.
having you eat crackers on Sunday to get into heaven, wherever that might or might not be.
Yeah, you're right.
It's called the golden rule, folks. You live life and you treat people as you would like to be treated, and assuming you're not psychologically impaired.
Of course.
I mean, this is all real simple stuff. But you look at now what the Department of Homeland Security has done, and FEMA.
I don't want to look at it.
Well, thank you. But let me just tangentially slip this in. They've made a deal, and this is old news, really. It was announced over a year ago, to work with the nation's clergy in a time of national emergency, to have the clergy take the streets with their Bibles and try to calm the populace and the rabble.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If you're really interested in the hidden symbolism that the world powers use, and especially in religion, the symbols and words and terms, I cannot stress more that this book, Symbol, Sex, and the Stars, and Stellar Theology, are really cram-packed with some really interesting stuff. So, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to awaken people. I've said it so often, I'm saying it again. I'm not the world's foremost authority on anything, but I really believe I have a mission to do with my little life, and that is just to help awaken my fellow man to what's going on in the world behind the scenes. And all you have to do is just read.
Reading is a dying art. It's a DVD world now. And people, if you give them a two-hour DVD, that's a bit much. You know, they can get through an hour, a lot of them, but it's a pace that we have now become addicted to, a pace, and not to mention the fact that this society and humanity is clearly being led around by its nose of being addicted to audio and visual. I call them audio-video speed amphetamines. I mean, it's like meth.
They get junked
out on the pace, and they cannot slow down.
Well, for those people who learn, and I know I do too, we all do, because of, like you said, the pace we live by. But for those people who learn best by videos, I've got a lot of them. Just go on my website, and you'll see some of the things that I've done and some of the videos that I have. That some of them are very old, because they've never gone out of style. I mean, like that basic slide presentation I did, that was back in 91, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And it's been used in movies and television shows and all kinds of, spinoffs of that. And I also did a thing called, I did a video back in the early 90s called The Matrix, Matrix of Power. They called it, being referred to as just The Matrix. And of course, they make a movie called The Matrix. I didn't make anything off of it, but, I've been doing this stuff for so many years. And I've got a lot of videos and a lot of stuff on the web and a lot of information. We're going to have to do something about putting some kind of a map on how to go through my website, because tons of stuff on there.
Yeah, there's just a treasury of material. The next year, and until the next so-called election, we're going to have to deal with Bush and Cheney. It's primarily Cheney, Bush, of course. But metaphysically, spiritually, cosmically, and historically, the society that we're living in now is being manipulated by technology that is unprecedented on the planet. Evil has been here before.
Yep.
The society now, this evil society, this evil cartel cabal, this evil ethos, this evil group, has technology that is... we talk about the Nazis all the time. It's time to retire that. Let's talk about this. These are the new Nazis, and they so far have surpassed the old Nazis. It isn't even funny, because they've got the technology that Himmler and Goebbels could only even dream about, if they could dream about such. So how are we as a nation, when we watch ourselves being taken down, not just wrist slapped, taken down, how are we supposed to handle this, Jordan? How are we supposed to do it?
George Bush said one thing that I agree with 200%. He was absolutely right when he said, our enemies are enemies because of our freedoms. He said that this is the basis for the enemies that face America, because they hate us because of our freedoms. He could never have been more right in saying that. That's exactly right. Because America was founded as the only country on the earth in the history of mankind, the only country that has a written constitution which basically says that all people living in this country are sovereigns. And this is why cowboys in the old Wild West days could ride into town with their six guns, the six shooters on their hip. The cowboys could wear guns on their hip. Why? Because the constitution said that each man and woman in this country was a sovereign. But most people don't understand the difference between sovereignty and a police state. And so they don't remember the old days, the old cowboy days when we could ride into town with the guns and the cowboy movies. Well, so people do not understand what's going on and how it's been happening, and that's why I'm saying you need to understand the symbols, the words, the terms. And, by their fruits you will know them. And the Bible has Jesus saying, by the fruits you will know them. Well, what is the fruitage of the church, of the synagogue, of the temples in Islam, all over the world? What is the fruitage? Because by their fruits you will know them. The fruitage is war, bloodshed, and ignorance. Profound, overwhelming tsunami of intellectual ignorance. People have no idea in the world what their belief systems are. They have no idea what the word church means. They have no concept of what the word Christ means. Christians going around talking about Jesus Christ and don't even know what the word Christ means. And people love talking about going to church and have no concept in their mind whatsoever as to where that word church really came from. And when you start breaking these words down and these terms down, you begin to see we've been lied to big time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole world is awash in a tsunami of spiritual darkness. And this is all I'm trying to do, is awaken those who are supposed to hear. Not everyone's supposed to get it.
That's important, and we do sometimes forget that. We think that, gosh, if just given the opportunity, everyone would wake up and embrace the reality that
Not at all. It's only those who are supposed to get it. You know, there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who get it and those who don't. And I'm totally convinced that if you awaken, you don't do the awakening, the Spirit awakens you. And if you're supposed to know, but if you're not supposed to know, if you've chosen your own destiny to watch basketball to the day they knock on your door, then that's your problem. But for those who want to know, that's why I'm here. I want to try and help those who are in the process of awakening and wanting to learn. That's what I'm trying to do, the best I can do, with nothing, I will add. You know, I don't have any money. I don't have any big financial backers. I just do the best I can, and my website is being done by a young man who has come in to help me. I don't have anything to pay him with, but he's helped me to do my work. So,
well, we can all support Jordan and nearly a half a century of service to enlightenment, in the best sense of that term, by buying some of his materials. And if you want to donate, donate. That's all right. We all know that often the most heroic among us are the most impoverished. That's the game and how it's played.
Yeah, I live in one room.
Jordan, thank you. Great to spend time with you, my friend. It's been a long time, and let's do it again anytime you'd like.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jordan Maxwell, and a remarkable conversation. Okay, we're going to pause for 21 hours. We'll be right back with you tomorrow night. In the meantime, we'll see you at rants.com. Take care.